Welcome to the Resources for Integrated Care webinar series on member engagement. This podcast is excerpted from a webinar presented live in the summer of 2015 called Training Consumers for Engagement, Developing a Curriculum that Empowers Members. This webinar series is presented by the Lewin Group in collaboration with Community Catalyst and is supported through the Medicare-Medicaid Coordination Office in the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. MMCO is dedicated to ensuring that beneficiaries enrolled in Medicare and Medicaid have access to seamless, high-quality health care that includes the full range of covered services in both programs. So to support providers in their efforts to deliver more integrated, coordinated care to Medicare and Medicaid enrollees, MMCO is developing technical assistance and actionable tools based on successful innovations and care models. To learn more about current efforts, please visit resourcesforintegratedcare.com. In this podcast, John Arnold, the project manager at UCAN Ohio, shares best practices for training to maximize the time spent in member advisory committee meetings.
So I'm going to briefly go through the selection process of a managed care organization, the training activities, and also some of the feedback. So UCAN Ohio and Community Catalyst believe that it was essential to partner with the managed care organizations in training and recruiting for their consumer advisory committees. So the first step, UCAN and Community Catalyst convened and facilitated a separate call with all the participating managed care organizations on their on the consumer engagement toolkit. So we went through the toolkit and answered some very good questions posed by the plans. So upon conclusion, you know, we asked the plans for their commitment to not only use the toolkit, but to commit to allowing UCAN Ohio to help in the recruiting process. And one plan said yes right away to both questions. So UCAN and the plan's community liaison did a number of Q&As and forums with enrollees. So out of that, we recruited 21 participants, and all 21 received applications to complete. So 17 applications were returned to us. So our goal was to recruit 15 members. But we decided to allow all 17 to participate in the event that we had one, two, or three that dropped off. So at the first Consumer Advisory Committee meeting, we did the sign-off on the plan's confidentiality agreement. And we also discussed that it was necessary for them to be consistent and to commit to this process in order to have an effective consumer advisory committee. And we also shared with the members. So what Margo talked about was that feedback loop. So they are going to come to the meeting and they're going to discuss the issues, concerns that have been raised not only by themselves, but their friends and their family members. Those will be forwarded to the governing board. The governing board will come back at the next meeting with the members with the resolutions and time frames. And also we did inform and to tell them that in order for this to become an effective consumer advisory committee, we will be scheduling training. So when we scheduled the training, we had to be flexible, and not only in the hours, which Margo talked about, but also in the days and the hours. So you have to take in consideration, you know, if that member have dialysis or if that member needs his or her personal care attendant to join them at the Consumer Advisory Committee. Next slide, please. So you call them, you can call them what you will, meeting norms, team agreements, rules of engagements, or conditions for success. But in order to have an effective consumer advisory committee, it's necessary to set up a few ground rules before you get started. And if you truly want buy-in, you must ensure that the members are advancing and participating in the creation of the ground rules. So we made this an activity to create the ground rules. You know, we asked the members to list ground rules or what they think should be part of the ground rules. Then we asked them to rank them, and what you see here listed are the 8 to 10 ground rules that they came up with. So everyone agreed that the ground rules that were created will now be a guide adopted for future meetings. So again, with the ground rules, you must be flexible and not too rigid. For an example, on start-stop times, cell phones being off or on vibrate. But it's very important to be flexible. Next slide, please. So consumer advisory committees are not just about one individual's issue or concerns. It's very important that the members understand that this is not just about me, myself, my issues, or my concerns only. So we had them think about what is the role or what they think is the role of a consumer advisory committee member. And we did this in an activity as well. And we asked them to list the roles, what they perceive as the role to be an effective member of a consumer advisory committee. And so I recall that, you know, one member cited going around to every member in her building that she knew participated in the dual demonstration and asking about their concerns or their positive experiences so she can discuss it at the next consumer advisory committee meeting. And we say to her, this is an example of what? And a lot of the other members shouted out, oh, she's representing others. So as you can see, we represent others became the first one that they all agreed upon and gave the highest marks. Next slide, please. So along with the role of consumer advisory committee members, we wanted the members to start thinking about what they had to contribute, because each individual is unique and brings something different or a different perspective to the consumer advisory committee. So we did an activity to list what skill set do you believe you bring to the table. And listing their skill set, we asked them to think about their own strengths. So as we listed the skills, many of the members there were surprised when they thought about the skills they came to the Consumer Advisory Committee to contribute. So, you know, an example, a number of members told one member that was there in the training, we are so surprised that you are now opening up to speak, because this member that was now opening up was asking probably the best questions of everyone sitting there. And also, she was very articulate in the answers that she responded to us. As a matter of fact, she could, at least in my mind, could have been a facilitator. So listed on this slide were all the commonalities among the group. Next slide, please. To be effective, there are certain behaviors that must be avoided. And if these behaviors cannot be avoided, it could affect the commitment to improve the care. So we did an activity where we asked the group to choose the behaviors they think are most appropriate to avoid. And I can tell you that the group really had strong feelings about the top three listed on this slide, the smartphone, unrelated stories, and being disrespectful. They really had a lot of strong feelings about that. But what is important here on these meeting killers, if you will, is that members themselves must manage the process. And the group agreed that now they have a code of conduct for the Consumer Advisory Committee moving forward. Next slide, please. So as Margot mentioned, the training received great results on the feedback from the members. So a month later, the regular Consumer Advisory Committee convened. The committee chair which is a UCAN Ohio recruited member. He created the agenda with the feedback from other members. And so the chair opened up the meeting and he discussed how much he got out of the training, and the chair and other members were mentioning to the members that did not participate how they thought that when they arrived at the training that it was just going to be another day long of regular consumer advisory committee meetings. And to their surprise, they had this great training. And also, in the training itself, we had not only that specific region community liaison there, we had two other regions from the plan, their community liaison there, and their feedback to us was, we want our committee members to be trained and trained soon. So I know that the members were engaged because they asked the plan community liaison, where is the flip chart? Where's the flip chart? We know we will have some parking lot items to be placed on the parking lot. And the chair stood up and explained exactly what a parking lot item is to the members that did not attend the meeting. So when the meeting concluded, the members stated not only to the community liaison, but the vice president happened to be there as well. I'm sorry, the chief operation officer happened to be there. And they mentioned how productive the meeting had become. And they said now they feel that there is a sense of accountability with time frame that's been included in the process.
For more information about this webinar series and other resources, including videos and podcasts, please visit resourcesforintegratedcare.com and follow us on Twitter at integrate_care.